No, y'all got to do better than that. I came all the way from Buffalo. Good morning, Creekers. We're so happy to be here with you all this morning. You know what? I'll be honest with you. Just going to jump right in and say sometimes God's not fair. Man, it got real quiet. Sometimes, if we're honest, God just isn't fair. And we feel that, whether we want to be honest or not. When we look at our life, we look at the stuff that we don't have and the things that we've been praying for. And here's the part that we don't like to talk about. We end up muttering, or what we end up doing, if we're not muttering, we're thinking about what we don't have or what is actually going on. And when we have those moments, how many people want to be honest and shout, God ain't fair. It's okay, you're not going to go to hell. Trust me, you're being honest with your feelings and your emotions that XYZ has happened and it don't feel good. How many people will be honest to say that sometimes when you look at life, and if we be honest, life sometimes can choke the life out of us, that what ends up really happening is we begin to feel like God ain't fair. Why did my family member have to have cancer? I got some enemies, and cancer would have been fine for them. See, not nobody want to be honest. You wanted to smile, like, yeah, I thought that. But let's be honest and say we have feelings and emotions that happen in our lives all the time because of circumstances and problems that have hit our life. And we start asking the questions, why me, why this, why now? As if a storm would be better off tomorrow. You know, it's like, you know, when is a good day to find out that your husband doesn't love you anymore? When is a good day to find out your child is using drugs? When is a good day to have a blowout on the 33? When is a good day for your house to be repoed, your house to be foreclosed, your car to be repoed? When is a good day? You know, I can pencil that in on August 23rd. You know, not today, not right now. If you give me a couple of weeks, I'll be ready for it. Stuff happens, and when it happens, let's be honest and say, sometimes we feel like God isn't fair. Ooh, y'all looking at me funny already. It's okay. It's okay. Guess what? Trevor will be back next week. But if we're going to be honest today, sometimes I bet there's other people under the sound of my voice that have had the problem or the feeling where God isn't fair. And in other words, we're going to explore a little bit about what living out Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 and 6 really is. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Man, sometimes. Lean not to thy own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. But I have to get to the place that I can submit to him, that I can trust him. And if we're going to be open today, I believe that we will end up concluding and being able to declare with confidence that when life seems unfair, God is still trustworthy. Now, come on, somebody say that with me. When life seems unfair, God is still trustworthy. Now, how many people be honest and say, in the heat of the battle, in the midst of the storm, we don't always feel like that. We're like, yo, where you at? Enough is enough. As I looked over my life and I started seeing different situations and experiences that I had to go through, sometimes I felt as if God was not being fair with me. Oh, y'all looking at me real funny. It's I love you too, Don. Now we're going to explore this. Let's look at this Old Testament book called Habakkuk. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some quick background. You know, this is about 610 BC, so before the time of Christ, which was a time when the Old Testament people were the Israelites. Y'all remember them? Mm-hmm. And it was a time where the kingdoms was divided between Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And we're dealing with Judah. Habakkuk was the prophet to Judah, the southern kingdom. And what he saw was, he saw the immorality and he saw the injustice in Judah, and he ended up feeling like, you know, God, what you doing here? Do you see what I see? Do you see what's going on? And this is what happens when he saw the injustice, he saw the idolatry. It caused him to cry out to God. See, a lot of people cry, but they don't cry out to God. A lot of people have emotions and feelings, but they don't lean. The Bible teaches us that we can cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. So now watch what it says in Habakkuk chapter number 1, verse number 2, 3, and 4. How long, O Lord? I mean, come on. He started off like, okay, now enough is enough. In the Andre Shep version, enough is enough. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you? Violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why? Somebody shout, why? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Watch it. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Wow. Those are some really pretty, you know, raw and real words. I would say to have with God, that he's actually talking to God. Like, how long? Like, yo, you don't see this? You don't see what's going on? You don't see this world? Watch what ends up happening. How many of us dare to be that raw with God? How many of us dare to actually tell God how we feel? How many of us will talk to God about the emotions that we are having? Watch this. Now for Habakkuk, you know, you could say that he saw a dying world all around him, and it broke his heart. And so he is asking God, why is he tolerating this? And if we are going to be honest, we need to all be at the place that our heart should be broken. No one should see the condition of the world, even the world and the church, and be okay. This is it. Okay. It's all right. When we see the wickedness from the world has crept even into the church. Okay, we looking at me funny today. That's okay, I'll be bone. Watch this. So if we honestly, it's clear, a commentary on the state of the nation of Judah and what God is going to do about it. You know, what was Habakkuk crying out for? Maybe you could relate. Maybe you can relate to your own world or the state of Christianity today. I mean, do you ever struggle today with the state of the church or maybe the behaviors of Christians today? That we are mean? We're not kind? Our light is not shining? It seems like our light that's supposed to be set up on a hill has a dimmer. We're not as bright as we should. We're not as loving as we should be. We're not as giving, and we're not as hospitable. We're not as caring as I think the Bible teaches us that we should be. Or could it be that, you know, we just lack a maturity, that we have not grown up? But regardless, if that's you, someone that struggles with the state of the world or the church today, you know, this book gonna be helpful. This book is going to be helpful, because watch what's going to happen. God is demonstrating to us through Habakkuk how to apply to multiple situations when you feel like God is unfair. Have you ever felt like God unfair? See, I got a oh yeah, give me three amens. I got it, 1, 2, 3. We didn't think it was fair when our family member or ourselves was diagnosed with cancer. I didn't think it was fair when my own aunt was gunned down at Tops on last year. I didn't think that was fair. You don't think people ask, where is God when there's so much hatred in the world? God, how long are you going to sit here, God, and watch us act like this? These your peoples, God. I wonder sometimes if God is claiming all of us. Like, is God really claiming? Come on. Look at somebody real close to you and say, I wonder if God's claiming you. How we act? How many people gave me a hug this morning? If you ain't gave me a hug, God ain't pleased. Y'all not gonna let me be me. It's okay. See, it's still morning. I got time? Okay. Don't let me leave without my hugs now. When we see injustice and the moral compass of our world gone haywire, what is our response? Are you the person that sits in small circles complaining about what you see, never doing anything about it? Or have you just gotten so numb about it that you just like you don't care, like it's not even existence? Many times we're at the place where we ignore what is obvious, watch this, especially to the person that are enduring the injustice. We ignore not only the injustice, but we ignore the person that is being put upon. We throw it out. Let's just put it out here. We can talk with God and wait upon his timing for answers. We could talk to God about it. Watch this. Habakkuk continued to ask questions. And then he waited for answers, which I believe the kind of person God desires us to be. So you see, at the end of the day, Habakkuk shows us that when life seems unfair, God is still trustworthy to talk to. Look, come on, y'all say it with me. When life seems unfair, God is still trustworthy. We used to sing a song, had a little talk with Jesus, told him about my problems. Never mind, I'll teach you later. Watch it. So we had a little talk. You got to be able to have a talk with God. Sometimes we're talking to the wrong person. When you got a God-sized problem, you can only talk to God about the problem. Some things, I had a member one time, they caught me outside, and they said, Sister So-and-so needs you right now, Shep. I'm running outside. What's going on? My car won't start. I said, call a mechanic. I don't know nothing about cars. So you know me, I'm crazy. I went and took my, slapped a couple of things. Try starting it now. It ain't work. You got to call a mechanic, because guess what? That's not my expertise. And sometimes we go to people that cannot do anything about the situation, but we go to other people instead of going to God. So which is important, because, you know, this, to talk to God is so important, because for me at least, I have times where life seems like it's not fair. And I'm not talking about directly to God quickly enough. I'm not going to God quickly enough. I'm allowing those emotions and those feelings to sit in my spirit. And now what ends up happening, it begins to fester. And I become more and more angry, more and more frustrated, more and more upset, because I feel like I should be talking to God so I can release this up off of me. I don't want to have a pity party no more. I don't want to sit in this pain. I don't want to sit in this sorrow. I don't want to sit in, let's go, watch this. But if you look at Habakkuk shows us a different way, a more proper way to go directly to God. I'm telling you, we have to get to the place that we can go directly to God, that we are not bypassing God and trying to figure things out ourselves. When we do that, we only make matters worse. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. God will direct your path. So what do? Well, like Habakkuk, you know, seeing the dying that is breaking your heart, what is it that you're going to declare? It's just not fair? Or are you going to trust God? Are you witnessing a dying relationship that is breaking your heart? Are you seeing and experiencing the dying of a marriage or a job opportunity? Come on, that is breaking your heart. What's going on in your spirit? What's sizzling this summer in your spirit? What are you going through in life that literally has you heartbroken? Because you know what I found out? Church people are good at having a masquerade party every Sunday. Lord, you are faithful. And then go home and cry. Instead of coming to church and being honest, where when I grew up, we used to bring our burdens to the altar. We would come and put our knees in the altar and pray to God and cry out to God. And then they taught us to leave our burdens at the altar and not to go home with it. But I mean, people recognize that sometimes that's easier said than done. We have to learn to trust God. We have to learn to release it to God. Am I talking right? Watch this. Let's go. God is still and always will be trustworthy to talk to about it. You can talk to God. And guess what? God is not going to judge you. God is not going to look at you funny. And God is not going to tell nobody else about it. Anybody ever told something to somebody and the whole job found out? You ever told something to one adult and all the adults found out? God is not like that. So for he is the only unchanging person, entity, however you can wrap your head around who this God is, the God of the Bible. But one thing I know for sure is that he is consistent. The unchanged God did what he has constantly done, and that is give answers. So if we look at Habakkuk chapter number 1, verse number 5 and 6, we actually see God's answer. You pray, then what you looking for? An answer. If you wasn't expecting an answer, then why are we praying? Watch what he says in Habakkuk chapter number 1, verse 5 and 6. Watch what it says. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe. Even if you were told, I am raising up the Babylonians, what? That ruthless, what? I'm going to raise up those evil people who sweep through across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own? That's God's big idea? That's God's answer? You see, the Babylonians were not just God's chosen people. Watch this. They were very wicked. So now we have a response that we don't like. Now, somebody that's taking notes, write this down. Every time we pray and we get an answer, doesn't mean we're going to like the answer. Just because you get an answer doesn't mean you're going to like it. He says, God, how long are you going to sit here and allow this to happen? God says, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the Babylonians, and they're going to capture y'all. Okay, let me take that prayer back. Anybody ever want to take a prayer back? Wait, this prayer ain't working. I don't like the way this prayer is even sounding. Wait a second, is this the answer? Is this your final answer, Lord? Y'all forgive me. I've just thought about it. Is this, are you sure? You want to rethink this? Can I change your mind? Is there anything I can say or do? The Babylonians? What? So he answered the prayer, but that's not what he wanted to hear. Watch what he goes on to say in Habakkuk chapter number 1, verse 13. Your eyes, God, are too pure. This is Habakkuk going back to God. Now we're going back and forth. Too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked, the Babylonians, swallow up those more righteous, the Israelites, than themselves? So he's saying, wait a sec, God. This don't make sense. All God's answers don't make sense. But that's when you know you have to trust God. So now watch what he says. He says in chapter number 2, verse number 1, Habakkuk, listen, you have to have a response. So he goes back to the Lord. After he got that answer, he goes right back to the Lord. Verse number 1 and chapter number 2. I, Habakkuk, will stand at the watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, God, will say to me and what answer I am to give to his complaint. Well, based on what we see in the next text, watch this. God responds and Habakkuk's reaction to that. I think that through Habakkuk was, this threw him off. He's confused. Like, God, this can't be the plan that you have. This can't be the plan. This can't be the plan, which, you know, I'm wrestling with the fact that I already think this is not fair, and then you give me an answer which I think is even more unfair. God, this is not how we negotiate blessings. See, write this down. When life seems unfair, God is trustworthy to keep talking to and waiting on. Come on. I can keep talking to God about it, and I can keep waiting. See, Habakkuk says, what? I stand my watch. In other words, I will wait and watch God. I got to trust God to see what he's going to do, even when I don't understand what he's doing. See, if God is so patient with us, which he is, can't we be more patient with him and more trusting in him? Habakkuk really demonstrates that clearly to us. Have you ever been on a road trip and the person behind you while you driving keep on asking, are we there? See, y'all been there. Everybody in this section said, yet. Are we there yet? Or come on, moms that cook dinner. Have you ever been cooking dinner and your child keep coming in and out every few minutes and say, is dinner done yet? Because we want things done in our time. And sometimes we want the healing in our time. We want the blessing in our time. We want God to move when we say move. And when God doesn't move the way we say move, and if his plan don't line up with the plan that we have, guess what happens? We are perplexed. Sometimes we put a plan out for God and say, God, I want it done this way. And when God don't move the way we thought he was going to move, then we're upset. But God is not required to honor what we thought he was going to do. He's only required to do what he said he was going to do. You can't force and put God in a box and make God be your God. You can't force God to do it your way. This ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way. I'll take a miracle, hold the trouble. That's not how God operates. This is not how God operates. You got to understand that I have to take the good and the bad and understand that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so if it doesn't look good, that means God ain't done working. I feel real good this morning. Watch this. By questioning the initial response given to him and not acting rashly and not giving up on God, but then waiting and watching, looking for God to answer in anticipation. Anybody get excited just waiting to see what God's going to do? I know God's going to do it, and God's going to blow my mind. God's going to do something bigger than I ever thought. Watch the response. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of an end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. See, from there, the Lord goes on to speak five woes in most of the rest of the chapter, chapter 2, which I would encourage you all to read that. But watch what he says in verse number 20. The Lord is in the temple. Let the earth be silent before him. Wait a second. Now you just told me to keep talking. You told me to wait. Now you tell me to be silent. See, now you're confusing me, Lord. We could talk so much, but we'll never hear the answer. And sometimes God has already given you the answer, but you kept talking over God. See, a lot of us are not waiting on God. We're whining to God. There's a difference between waiting and whining. How many people know that while you're waiting, you got to rejoice? That while you're waiting, you got to give God praise? While you're waiting, you got to trust God and believe that it's already... Somebody ought to understand this. Watch this. You'll grasp this. Watch this. It's already done. I'm just waiting for the manifestation for the answer that God has already given me. It's already done. God lives in eternity. We live in time. So in eternity, the answer is already there. I got to walk into it. Watch this. So when life seems unfair, watch this. God is still trustworthy to keep talking to and waiting on. But here's the last thing. And listening for. I got to learn to listen to God. I got to learn to wait on God. So how are you doing at this life's not fair situation? Are you taking the Habakkuk way of continuing to ask and wait and listen to trust and trust in God's response? And if so, keep on waiting. Keep on trusting. And if you're not, you just have become this laissez-faire, in other words, too casual, throwing your hands up in the air and just saying whatever. I want to encourage someone today, if you're waiting on a miracle, you keep waiting on it. If you're waiting for your son to be saved and your daughter to come back to the Lord, then you wait on it. I'm decreeing and declaring in somebody's life that if you're waiting for your husband to give his life to God, you continue to wait for it. You do not give up on God. You got to hold on believing that God is going to do exactly what he said. If God gave you a promise, you hold on to that promise. Watch this. I'm gone. When life seems unfair, God is still trustworthy. He's trustworthy to talk to keep talking to watch for, and to wait, and to listen for. For the revelation, God stated, await an appointed time. And though it may linger, he said, it will certainly come and will not delay. According to my perfect timing, place our hope ultimately in he who is worthy. We place our hope in God. We place our hope in God. When life seems unfair, God is still trustworthy. Whew. Even when I don't get what God is up to, he's still trustworthy. Even when I feel like God has moved past the time where things are supposed to happen, God is still trustworthy. I was sharing in the first service that my wife and I, we're going to celebrate 24 years of marriage this year, and we did not have any biological children. Y'all forgive me, because I hope that this doesn't offend anyone or break anyone's heart. I don't want nobody mad at me. If it offends you, please line up right here after service so I can give you a hug. Watch this. In my mind, I kept wondering, God, this ain't fair. Year after year, where's our child? Where's our child? Lord, where's our child? When there's so many people that are aborting babies, God, we would have held on. We would have loved the child. God, where's our child? When people are fornicating, having babies out of wedlock, God, where's our child? Has anybody ever had raw emotions, raw feelings that you had to deal with? Like, why am I going through this? Life just ain't fair. God, why are you allowing this to happen? Come to find out that that wasn't God's plan. That we will adopt one. Then I'll become a pastor and take in another one. Then as a pastor, I have all these children now that look up to me as a father. It may not make sense while you're going through it, but it will make sense in God's timing. We have to change the perspective. It's not that God's against us. God has a plan that we must wait on. The problem is that a lot of times we don't look at it like this. But I want you to see a hairdresser. If we can trust God the way women trust their hairdresser, y'all catch that tomorrow. My sisters used to get perms. And in order to do the perm, you had to sit that thing in the hair. And I remember them sitting in the chair. And I said, hey, it's burning, ain't it, Ma? She's like, yeah, it's burning. But you can't let it out early. You have to let it sit and go through the process for the perm to take. Sometimes you got to sit in the process, but you're going to see the end result after that pain. You may not be able to see why God has you in something right now, but we have to trust that God knows best. I understand that there's parents in this room right now. Your child didn't want to eat those Brussels sprouts, but you kept saying, we know best. We know why we didn't want them out in certain neighborhoods or to do certain things. And we understood why we sometimes had shelters on our children. Because guess what? We felt like we knew best. How many parents in here believe that you knew what was best for your child? I don't like this person. I don't like you hanging with these kids. These kids are just wild. I don't know who raised them. They do not go to Revive. Watch what happens. Because you believe you know best. Well, if you know best for your child, and we call ourselves the children of the Lord, don't you think God knows what's best for you? Do you not believe that we gotta trust God and his process? That we gotta trust God and know that he knows what's best for us? How many people here today are struggling in the issues of trust? God, because I don't see it. I don't see how you're gonna turn this situation around. I don't see how you're gonna make this right. God, I don't understand why I have to go through this. Y'all forgive me, but there's somebody in this room right now that really may have an issue that seem like God isn't fair. Would you mind just standing right where you are? I want to pray with people, because watch this. A lot of times what ends up happening is we actually believe we're the only one feeling like this, and you're not. After the first service, many people came up to me and shook my hand and said, I was going through the same thing, that I had the same issue. But we keep on trying to perpetrate in front of other people as if we're stronger than life when we're really weak. How many people just want to pray, Lord, give me strength to go through this. Give me strength for the battle. Give me strength for the test. God, I need your help. God, I'm struggling. Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to have cancer? Why do I have to go through this divorce? Why don't my husband, why doesn't my wife love me? Why is my children gone astray? If we're honest, we've all gone through it. Thank you for your honesty. God, help her with her trust. Help her to, God, clearly speak to her heart. Let her know exactly what she needs to hear. The answer may not be what she wants to hear, but it's what she needs to hear. The answer that God gives is not always what we want to hear. Because sometimes God says yes, and we are excited for the yes, yes. He says it's going to happen. But what happens if God says no? Because God knows best, we have to trust him. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Father, help us. There's areas in our lives, God, that we're struggling with. I'm sure the children of Israel felt the same way. After all these years of slavery, you know, now you're going to come get us? And we done got comfortable here now. We're numb to being slaves. And even after, God, you brought them out of Egypt, they kept wanting to go back. Every sign of trouble. There's no water. There's no bread. You know, give us meat. We should have just stayed in Egypt. But God, you're bringing us out to a promised land, God, and we just have to trust you. As we go through the process of life, and we may think that it's not fair, but God, we know that on the other side of this process, there's a promise that you have for us. So God, I pray right now for those that are struggling with the why me, why this, why now. They're struggling. We have tangible stuff, but God, but there's some spiritual battles and issues that we're wrestling with. And Father, we need your help. We need your help. And God, if you would just speak to our hearts, comfort us, encourage us, renew our strength. God, we'll keep battling. We'll keep pressing. We'll keep serving. We'll keep giving. We'll stay right here in your face. We'll stay in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. put your hands together and give God a praise all over this building.